Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
For PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, we found some video of the state police officer that pulled me over. I'm just joking. We're showing video of the Smurfs. The more I think about it, he looked like a cross between Yosemite Sam and Papa Smurf. All right, I'm joking around. I shouldn't be. It was actually very, very sickening to see an illegal checkpoint, what it appeared to be this morning. They wouldn't tell me. And to have them get in my face and treat me like a piece of trash when I was very polite. Gold is up $4 a day to $1,295 an ounce. And it's way over that what you can actually buy it for in the market. Shortages have begun. And the dollar is being devalued. The Federal Reserve is involved in more quantitative easing, more printing of money. That's what happened to Mexico, what happened to Zimbabwe, Weimar Republic, Germany. And they are now buying more and more of U.S. bonds. Nobody will buy them. Foreign governments, individuals won't buy them. So gold's going up because the dollar is being devalued. And I wanted to briefly, ahead of this historian joining us in the next segment, on Mao Zedong and what we're going to face in this country. There's no doubt about it. It's the same people that ran Mao running this. I wanted to bring Ted up briefly because he ran out of the deals of gold and silver he bought a few months ago that was priced into the market 30, 40, 50, 60, depending on the deal, under what it should have been selling for. He still got some he bought a few weeks ago that is way under what anybody else can sell it to you for. And so to tell us about what's happening in the gold market briefly is Ted Anderson. Ted, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me up again. And yeah, like you said, Alex, the Fed is stepping in and that's driving the dollar down. It's driving gold up. Right now we do have the franc currently at 279. You do get the full year subscription to the International Forecaster when you buy that. So it really discounts it down to about $560 gold, considering the fact that gold's almost $1,300 an ounce today. That is one wonderful buy. Walking Liberty halves at 1050, another great buy. British Sovereigns at 357. A lot of people are calling, Alex, for that CBO report, which makes me real happy. The federal debt and risk of financial crises document, which came out of the government,
Ted, what you ought to give out, is the Pentagon 2 weeks ago saying that they believe the U.S. is going to collapse because of the debt. Well, that's actually the banker's plan. We have the 2002 IMF World Bank documents. They create the crisis that offer the solution, giving themselves more power, and these Yosemite Sam police then are more than happy to bully the public.
Well, you know, I really should take a look at that document because nothing makes me more happy than to have the government expose itself and their evil plan.
Yeah, but they're only exposing it to say, see, we better enslave you because we stole everything.
Right, exactly. Obviously, there's an agenda there. But, you know, if people wake up and realize that they can't keep themselves in this paper currency anymore, I mean, the Bloomberg story says that they have to get out, that they have to buy gold and silver. It's not like, you know, Bloomberg, I mean, here he is a stock guy and he's telling people that they have to buy gold and silver. This is today's story, and you know, it just gets to the point here now where it's just getting utter ridiculous to stay into the paper currencies, the stock market, the bond market, if you're going to be in the annuities, if even in the real estate, because there's such a bubble there that, you know, it really doesn't make sense to have anything other than gold and silver, because that has been money for over 6,000 years. And that's why it pleases me to see that people are willing to pick up the CBO report coming from Congress and actually get the information that says, yes, indeed, there's going to be a crisis.
Absolutely, but it's on record. We're going into a planned depression. People need to call. How much are the silver half dollars right now?
Well, right now, are they at 1050? And that's
okay. Everywhere else, the lowest is 12 that I've seen. A lot of places, 16. How long will it last at 1050 apiece?
I'm going to hold it for today for sure.
All right, let me give the number. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. They've got all sorts of great coins at great prices in gold, the francs, the sovereigns, the buffaloes that are hard to get, normally have huge premiums, not with Midas Resources. Find out the great listings. Tell them it's the radio offer or you'll pay more. And that price is still great. This is smoking. 800-686-2237. 1-800-686-2237. Thanks a lot, Ted Anderson.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
The question is, where should the American people draw their line in the sand?
What have we got? A republic or a monarchy?
A republic
is based on a constitution which protects minority rights.
Not democracy, not mob rule, two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner.
So they think they own our land? They think they're on our water, children, our education, our money.
We have to define who we are and what we will tolerate.
Somebody's going to ask you what you did during the Patriot Uprising.
You have been warned.
We have the facts. We have the Constitution. We have the Bill of Rights. We have common law. Knowledge is power, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm so excited to be able to offer you, Don't Tread on Me, Rise of the Republic. Tyranny is upon us, but liberty and the sleeping giant that is the American people is rising. A new tool in the info war. Don't Tread on Me. Order it at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139 and support independent, patriotic, liberty films.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Remember when I said you spell freedom F-O-O-D? It's really true. Legislation is in the process of restricting the growing and sharing of food. And a record number of Americans, over 43 million, depend on the government to feed themselves. Food prices are going up for Americans. Prices are going up, even for eFoodsDirect.com. This will require their first price increase in 3 years. The most important thing Americans can do for their own freedom and survival in these hardest of times is to get supplies of high-quality storable food. Because of the huge response to this buy three and get one free special, eFoodsDirect.com will continue this special until September 27th. Right now, you can buy three and get one free at the old prices. But move fast, because this offer ends September 27th. Call 1-800-409-5633 or on the web at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633 or on the web at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
This is our land. These are our people. The workers, the strivers, the builders. These are our people. Who are they? They are the dark armies. The dark, murdering armies whose only honor is a trust.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
There is a war on for your mind. Thank you so much for joining us. For the balance of this hour, award-winning historian researcher has a book out that's getting a lot of powerful reviews. The Chinese government helped compile a book a decade ago or so admitting that Mao killed 80-plus million. Our government says he killed 84 million. But we have one of the leading experts on Mao's mass murder joining us. Here's a Bloomberg headline. Starved by Mao, cannibal China ate Earth, robbed graves. Continuing, Mao's great leap forward killed 45 million in 4 years. London Independent. Here's another one, London Guardian, Mao's Great Famine by Frank Decotter. The horrors of China's Great Leap Forward are unveiled in this masterfully study of the hateful plan. Huge stew pots cooking people, that's what the Chinese books I've read translated into English talk about. And this was praised by David Rockefeller in 1976 in the New York Times. This is what big government does. And according to our government, any criticism of government is terrorism. So I guess this is the type of system we all need to live under, according to many people that worship big government and collectivism. But I really appreciate our guests joining us today. Frank Decatur is an author of Mao's Great Famine, the History of China's Most Devastating Catastrophe, published by Bloomsbury and Walker Books. He is the chair, professor of humanities for the University of Hong Kong, a professor of the modern history of China on leave from the School of Oriental and African Studies, University of London, born in the Netherlands in 61. He's educated in Switzerland. It goes on and on. He's published 9 books that have changed the way historians view modern China, from the classics, the Discourse on Race in Modern China, the China Before Mao, the Age of Openness. Frank Decatur is married and lives in Hong Kong. He's in Rome right now. Sir, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
You got the floor. Start at the beginning. Mao Zedong, the greatest mass murderer in history. Now they have coffee shops and hotels and eateries named after him. Young people wear his shirt. I see it all over the streets. He's supposedly like Martin Luther King to many people. So I thought we'd have you on. Tell us about Mao Zedong.
Well, he's a man who conquered China in 1949. And he's also a man who started the war in Korea against the Americans a few years later. And hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, lost their lives during those two particular events. But they do not compare to what happened from 1958 onwards, when Mao wanted to turn every man and every woman in that country into a soldier, into one giant army that he could use in a continuous revolution to somehow tackle both agriculture and industry at the same time. So what he did with the Great Leap Forward in 1958 is very much collectivize everything and herd people in the countryside into giant people's communes. People in the countryside had their homes collectivized. Their land was taken away from them. Their belongings were stripped away. They had nothing left except the choice to obey the party commands. And the party command was to work all day and all night so that the country could overtake England in 15 years. That was the slogan, to overtake England in 15 years. And before you know it, every incentive to work was stripped away, and people had no reason to work except the fear of pain and violence. So in the countryside, party officials and farmers became locked in a mounting spiral of violence, in which people were beaten, were covered in excrement, were sometimes buried alive for the slightest misdemeanor. Stealing a potato could warrant a death sentence.
Please continue, sir.
Okay, I'll continue. One of the big myths about the Great Leap Forward is that people simply died of hunger because there was no food available. But having looked at a whole series of party archives, you have to understand this is a one-party state that is very meticulous, like Nazi Germany, like the Soviet Union, very meticulous in compiling notes about everything it does. So these are massive archives, and they illustrate something that is very prevalent during that period, namely that food is used as a weapon. It is not simply that people starve to death. They are starved to death very deliberately. There's a deliberate selection of people who are banned from the canteen.
Professor, can I interject something here? Because I know you're very well read, one of the leading experts on the last 70 years in China. Have you noticed that they had a Beijing World Food Summit in the mid-1990s, and the UN said we will use food as a weapon? And in State Department Memorandum 200 by Henry Kissinger, he talked about using the Chinese model in the third world of using food as a weapon.
I don't know about it, but it doesn't sound very promising. That's all I can say.
Okay, well, let's continue then with the model of using food as a weapon, because I happen to have an article here, the Livable Communities Act, and the stated goal is to force people under Agenda 21 into sustainable cities. and only basically allow big agribusiness to operate. But sorry, I was just drawing parallels to here. Go ahead, please.
Of course, there are parallels to be made, but that, at that particular point in time, the fact that a one-party state was in control of all the food meant that if you did not work, if you did not go to the fields and perform the work that you were asked to do, or if you were too weak or too vulnerable or too old or sometimes too young to actually earn your keep, you were banned from the canteen. And entire groups of people were deliberately starved to death during that period from 1958 to 62.
Didn't Stalin do something similar in Ukraine?
Very much a similar thing. In other words, what Stalin did in the Ukraine and in other parts of the Soviet Union was collectivize the countryside and strip every incentive to work away from the farmers. In other words, people were locked in this cycle of violence, with party officials who were there to take as much grain as they could, and farmers who saw no reason to work except fear.
Now you talked about being buried alive for small things. How would they execute people? And I remember back in 98 or so, there were some big books that came out in China that the government officially sanctioned, where they talked about 80 million dead, and they talked about large stew pots of human flesh. Is that true, or is that a distortion?
That may have happened in a few very isolated cases, but the most common instrument of punishment at the time was a stick. You just beat people to get them into the fields. When they're too famished to work, you beat them to give up, or you strip them in the middle of the winter so that they have to work just to stay warm. The case of people being buried alive is reported all over China, from the north all the way to the south near Canton. In one case, a man is forced to bury his own son alive because his son has stolen a handful of grain. Well, this man obviously is heartbroken. He dies of grief after 3 weeks. He can't continue. And there are countless cases of torture taking place for the slightest misdemeanor against some party command.
Well, now if you don't follow the smallest order, you get tasered. People die every day of heart attacks. But I guess that's America, so it's okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I'd rather get tasered. I would rather get tasered than have one of my ears chopped off.
Yes.
Or my nose lopped off. Or being buried alive, or being poured, being covered in excrement, or being tied up and thrown into a pond, or being branded with a sizzling tool like an animal.
Amazing. Please continue, Professor.
Very common ways of punishing people at the time.
Please continue, Professor.
So what I found, thanks very much to the party archives, which are only gradually opening up, so God knows what more is still hidden in the central party archives in Beijing. But on the basis of what is open now, it's unavoidable. The conclusion that 2 to 3 million people were actually killed is unavoidable as part of the 45 million people who died unnecessarily during those 4 years, an absolutely staggering number of people. But the
Professor, what's the grand total, though? Because I see numbers of 80 million, 60 million. I mean, what's the real number from your research overall during the Mao reign?
Well, the frightening thing is that so far, the only one period after 1949 that we've been able to study on the basis of the Communist Party archives is the Great Leap Forward from 1958 to 62. When previous estimates range from 20 to 30 million, but on the basis of these unpublished documents, many compiled by the security police, by public security bureaus themselves, that has to go up to 45 million. Now, the question is, what happened during other periods? For instance, the Cultural Revolution, which started a few years later, or what happened immediately after 1949, after the conquest of power by the Communist Party with a reign of terror? So far, people have claimed that 2 to 3 million people were killed. It might be much more. We simply won't know till we can have access to the archives.
How does the U.S. government...
It's only happened that very short period referred to as the Great Leap Forward. So it's anybody's guess.
All right, Professor, stay there. We're going to tell folks how to get your book on the other side. We're very honored that you're spending time with us. And I want to just continue with whatever you think is most important, because you're the real expert on this. But I want to ask when we come back, How does the U.S. government come up with a 64 million number then? And from your dead reckoning, is that high? Is that low? We'll continue with that on the other side. We'll be right back. InfoWars.com is the website.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
Let me tell you a little bit about one of our great sponsors, HomeGain.com. This is the place to get you started buying or selling a home, finding a realtor, and getting any real estate questions answered. Go to HomeGain.com and see what I'm talking about. All you need to do is type in your home address, and you will get an instant free estimate of your home's value online. This is a great way to be able to monitor the value of your home. And again, it's absolutely free. There are tons of tools to help you. For instance, if you want to remodel your home, go to HomeGain.com. Use their Home Sale Maximizer to help you determine which home improvements can most increase your home's value before you put it on the market. For 10 years, these folks have been helping home sellers and buyers. Visit their link at InfoWars.com. Look for Max, the orange Home Gain Gorilla, to help you with any real estate needs you might have. You'll love this site. It's HomeGain.com. HomeGain.com. Check them out today.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you're hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
Great news for pure water lovers. The Big Berkey Water Filter is available once again. And stay tuned to hear about a valuable offer from Berkey Water Filters. Choosing the right water purification system can be a daunting task. That's why BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com shows you a cost and benefit comparison. The Berkey Water Filter is economical, with a single set of filters that can last for 5 to 10 years. Berkey Water Filters are healthy and far superior to other filtration systems. They remove harmful pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy chemicals like chlorine. And Berkey water filter systems are powerful enough to purify both treated and untreated water, like stagnant ponds. Get the gold standard in water filters at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. For a limited time, choose a free shower filter, fluoride filters, or two Sport Berkey bottles with every system purchase. And GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Details at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Don't forget, coming up in the next hour, we have a lawyer coming on, Judith McGarry, head of Farm and Ranch Freedom. We're going to go over all the legislation to start shutting down the family farms and ranches they're trying to pass. And it's all stated by the United Nations under Agenda 21. And they cite China as the model to control us. I mean, you can't make up this nightmare. And so I want you to know the plan here, hearing about Mao. And remember, Stalin did similar things, but just not on the same scale. We have, again, very prestigious researcher and professor on with us. And we're going to talk more about the book itself that goes into just horrifying detail. Continuing with your research, we were getting into the point, Professor, this is a short segment, long segment coming up. I was asking the question about 64 million is the number I see from the U.S. government. Where do they come up with that number? Do you know?
Pure speculation. I really don't believe that anybody's got any way of finding out how many died till we have full access to the archives. That's not going to happen anytime soon.
But in a four-year period, it's 45 mil.
Yeah, it is. So it might be a lot more. We simply don't know.
What was it like for you when you got access to this, A and B? How did you get access?
Well, I didn't exactly walk in and ask them to show me all the files about how they went around killing 45 million people. And they didn't exactly hand it over on the golden plate either. So it was all very indirect in the sense that I was asking to look at economic history of that period. And there was a lot of goodwill in the couple of years before the Olympics. There was a sense of opening up and making more material available. There was a good feel factor. And I used that time to read as much as I could in several dozen party archives, city archives, county archives, provincial archives. And in some cases, I didn't find much at all. In other cases, I simply wasn't allowed to read anything. And once in a while, I got very, very lucky. And when I read it, I have to say, I was quite prepared for tragedy, but nothing like what I encountered in the archives. I was still under the impression, like many others, that there simply wasn't enough food available, and that was why people died of hunger. I had no idea that the scope, the scale of coercion was so overwhelming. I had no idea that violence was very much the way in which those 4 years were governed by the party.
Well, Professor Decatur, looking at what happened in China, in 75 they started the one-child policy as taxes, as you know, and then in 80 as law. I mean, it seems like China, well, we know they want to get rid of some of their population, and I'd seen in the 70s party leaders saying we would benefit from a nuclear war. So was there an idea that wiping out the countryside people, you know, might be a good thing, or was it mismanagement? I mean, what was it?
Well, it's a complex series of factors, but what you say is actually quite accurate in the sense that at the time, people from the countryside were really seen not just socially, but legally, as inferior to city residents. In other words, a farmer did not legally matter as much as a city resident. They were very much treated as a special caste. And during the Great Leap Forward, a sort of wall was built around the city, not a real wall, but the cities were fenced off from the countryside.
Well, they do that now. They lock the rural workers at night in the major cities, AP reports, in basically giant prisons.
Well, to this day, in fact, any migrant from the countryside can be arrested and locked up. And that law dates from the Great Leap Forward, 1958.
Ah.
The whole divide of the country, I mean, the real line that runs through that society, the real divide is countryside people and city people. And there's no doubt that the vast majority of victims during the Great Leap Forward, the tens of millions of people who died, were countryside people. And there's no doubt either that they were pretty much at the very bottom of the social hierarchy during that period.
Amazing, Professor. But again, the evidence shows, as you're saying, that the culture was already there to discriminate against the rural population. But why did we then see the communists do the same thing in Russia? And now we see the UN with this attitude, claiming they want to help the rural communities, but actually doing the opposite. Long segment coming up. We're going to get more into your deep research and your book and how people can get it. We're also going to give a website out where folks can learn about all of your wonderful work a true value to humanity historically, so we don't repeat this. We'll be right back with Professor Takata.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that it could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
You may be arrested and or subject to other police action.
Tyranny is here. The grim future foretold in 1984 has become reality.
It really says that the state is God.
The United States is now recognized globally as one of the most oppressive police states on Earth. This film conclusively proves the existence of a secret network of FEMA camps, now being expanded nationwide. This documentary exposes how the continuity of government program has established an all-powerful shadow state. Police State 4 chronicles the sickening depths to which our republic has fallen. Prepare to enter the secretive world of emergency dictatorship. Body scanners, sound cameras, citizen spies, stage terror, and cameras on every street corner. It's only the beginning of the New World Order's hellish plan. The police state isn't coming. It's here. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or see it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, boating, tow line, shipyard, or decoration. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive a free 100 feet of 550 paracord. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
We the people grow cotton. Weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
From Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Okay, we're back live, and we're talking to Professor Takata about Mao Zedong, undoubtedly the greatest mass murderer in human history. But I wanted to read a quote here from the New York Times. We actually went and got this from the microfilm. It's in my film Endgame. Blueprint for Global Enslavement. David Rockefeller wrote to the New York Times August 10, 73, after returning from a successful business trip to China. Whatever the price of the Chinese Revolution, it has obviously succeeded in fostering a high morale and community of purpose. General social and economic progress is no less impressive. The enormous social advances of China have benefited greatly from the singleness of ideology and purpose. The social experiment in China under Chairman Mao's leadership is one of the most important and successful in history. And he goes on in the editorial to praise Mao Zedong. We just got some footage from one of our associates that's done graphics work for us of the being in major Chinese cities with the youth brigades marching with their red flags just this year. And whenever they want, they beat people up. I mean, that's all part of the fun. And I've got CNN here. CNN tells masses that communism is good for women, despite China's nightmare legacy. What is it like for you, Professor, being one of the most respected researchers on Mao and that communist period? I mean, surely you've noticed all the glorification of Mao in Europe, Canada, the United States. They're putting statues up for him. They're basically saying he's a civil rights icon. Is that disturbing for you?
Yeah, it's quite sickening. Given that what happened only during the Great Leap Forward would be enough to qualify as one of the three greatest greatest man-made disasters of the 20th century. It has to be the Gulag, the Holocaust, and the Great Leap Forward that count as the three greatest disasters that were pretty much man-made. I find it obviously quite sickening. Here is a regime that not only destroyed human beings in the tens of millions, but also everything else that was in its way. That includes untold damage to nature during the Great Leap Forward, with up to half of the forest coverage lost, housing destroyed, up to 40% in some provinces that are the size of a European country like France. 40% of the housing destroyed in the space of 4 years. Transportation system that would grind to a halt with the Great Leap Forward. I mean, something, its collectivization created such damage at every level that the China that existed before 1949 is just gone forever. And there's another kind of damage that was done when people are reduced to doing everything in order to survive, including eating mud or stealing from their own family members. And that is the unraveling of the social fabric and of moral values altogether.
You talk about the raping of the land. The website's frankdecotter.com. We have links to it up on Infowars.com and PrisonBlotter.com. I mean, why were they destroying so many homes? I read something about, for quote, fertilizer. Explain that to me.
Well, it sounds extraordinary, but it comes back in every party document that you can find from that period. That initially mud huts were destroyed, or pig sheds in which animals would have left some organic matter that might be used as fertilizer on the fields. But bit by bit, entire houses are being destroyed. And houses were destroyed for other reasons, not just for fertilizer, but to straighten a road or to take bricks in order to build up a people's commune or a canteen, or to punish the people who lived inside because they didn't work hard enough or didn't contribute enough grain to the state. An extraordinary level of destruction.
And, sir, I've also read about in this communist system with the police, they became fat. And all these little petty thugs and psychopaths and control freaks, they all got recruited because a loving, good, decent person couldn't do things like this. So it gravitated towards absolute despotism. Can you talk about that psychology?
Indeed. It isn't just people outside the party who were victims of this, but inside the party members who didn't want to go along with these policies, who objected in some way or another, they too were expelled, purged from the party in the millions. And other much harder, unscrupulous men were recruited to replace them. And they were willing to go along with anything Mao Zedong said. They were willing to very much trimmed their sails to benefit from these radical winds that were blowing from Peking. So what you get is a party of thugs who are very much willing to do anything to curry favor with the leadership at the time.
History repeats itself over and over again, and people don't recognize it, so they have to live through it. And I see similar trends worldwide today with the recruiting of thugs, but we're in a lot of trouble. Professor, I want to get back into your book and tell folks how they get it and flesh out some of the other incredible groundbreaking research that you've gotten from the Communist Party archives all over China, including local archives. How much research have you done on the man, Mao Zedong? Because I read about him never taking a bath, having sex with 5-10 women a day, just being a singularly disgusting creature.
That is very true, and there is a very good biography by Yong Chang on Mao Zedong as a person. And what comes across when you start having access to the minutes of secret leadership meetings is an image of a man who is extremely stubborn on the one hand, not willing to listen to anybody else, but also extraordinarily vain in the sense that nobody, including number two and number three down the line, down the hierarchy of power, are really willing to upset this man. And that's linked to a third characteristic that comes across very clearly, and that's paranoia. Here's a man who is at the head of a one-party state and is constantly fearing that there might be somebody stabbing him in the back, somebody undermining him. So he is very much at the head of a one-party state in which any failure to curry favor or toe the party line results in outright dismissal or much further down the line to violence of extraordinary proportions.
Sounds like a bigger scale North Korea.
It's very much a bigger scale North Korea. In fact, I made the comparison about a week ago when I spoke to the Independent in England with Pol Pot. And Pol Pot and the genocide in Cambodia, I described it as 20 times what happened in Cambodia, 20 times what the Khmer Rouge and Pol Pot did.
Unbelievable. I want to get back into that period, those 4 years, 45 million killed in one way or the other. But looking at the fact that near the end, Mao's wife became a scapegoat, though she was just as sickening as he was. I want to speak about her. And then what China has done to get away from that. But I know they still have the forced labor farming camps. I know a lot of that is still there. It's just hidden in that archipelago throughout the country. But specifically going through the overall span of his reign of terror, his great leap into hell, how things ended for Mao Zedong and how he's seen in China today.
Well, Mao Zedong did rather well. Unlike Adolf Hitler, but not unlike Joseph Stalin, he died very peacefully in his sleep. After having gotten rid of every single one of his enemies, including number two at the time, head of state, Liu Shaoqi, and very much allowing number three, Zhou Enlai, the diplomat, to die of cancer by withholding medical treatment. So he was the one who lived a very long life and died in his sleep. How is he considered? Well, I'm sometimes told by people in China that he is still held in great esteem. But the key point really is that even at the time, while he was pretty much taking away the grain from ordinary farmers and starving them to death, those very farmers in the countryside who were being starved, who had their children taken away to the army, who were sometimes buried alive during that period, they themselves believed that Mao Zedong was a great man. And it's a very simple way of explaining that. People need hope. They believe that the man at the very top is benevolent.
They love their servitude, and once they buy into the con, they can never say they were wrong.
Indeed. It goes back to a very old traditional way of looking at things under the Chinese Empire. The emperor is benevolent, but his mandarins are crooks, the ones who carry out his orders are wicked.
Now going back to his number two, having his health care withheld, I had read that. I mean, that shows that in these tyrannical systems, whatever permutation they take, that it is the people that work for the system statistically, from my, you know, grazing over wide spectrums of history, that generally the most dangerous position, just like with Hitler wiping out tens of thousands of his brown shirts that took him to power on the night of the long knives, that over and over again, it is the servants of the Dark Lord that are in the most danger.
That is true to a great extent. For instance, the Cultural Revolution is extremely complex, but essentially boils down to Communist Party members purging or killing off or torturing other Communist Party members. It's a great purge within the party. And that caused something like 2-3 million deaths. But of course, ultimately, ordinary people, the ones who died in the tens of millions, are exposed, have far less protection against violence that comes from above than people inside the party. But you are right. Nobody would relish to be number two or number three in that kind of system. And Lin Biao is a very smart man who tried to stay away from it. But he too got pulled into it by Mao Zedong himself. And he tried to flee and, of course, died in tragic circumstances.
Well, Professor, we see this cycle over and over again throughout history, that when a aggressive group comes in, takes over, that almost always things get worse, not better. That's why 1776 was so special. They really did deliver on almost all the promises, and it was, you know, the greatest expression of a true leap forward for freedom. But if you look at the communists, if you look at the Nazis, if you look at the decline of Rome, and I'd like you to speak as a historian on this, if you can, just overall, first they take over, kill off their first enemy, whoever was in power before. Then they wipe out the thugs that brought them to power, and there's always an escalation in the killing. Comparatively, and then you've got all these killers and psychopaths and sadists and control freaks. They still got the bloodlust, the bloodthirsty enjoyment, and the paranoia that goes with it. And so then it just accelerates.
Yes, quite. I mean, these one-party states, whether it's under Stalin, under Hitler, under Mao, have very similar structures with similar effects. And I think Friedrich Hayek, the wonderful writer who wrote this book called The Road to Serfdom.
Yes, Road to Serfdom.
Well, Hayek saw it very clearly. Once you start stripping away every kind of freedom, the freedom of association, freedom of speech, freedom of movement, freedom to trade, once you replace it by a one-party dictate, there can only be one road, and that's the road to serfdom, as he said rather clearly. I think the Great Leap Forward illustrates that better than anything else in 20th century history.
Well, Professor, I mean, you're obviously a very intelligent person. You've studied history. Are you not concerned about global parallels now with this global corporate elite who use collectivism at the national level to consolidate power, to then combine and move the nation's wealth into their corporate arms? I mean, globalization, when you really study what it's for, as the head of political science at Georgetown wrote, Bill Clinton's mentor, that this mega corporate elite, they'll fund fascist, communist, thugs. Our own CIA admits over and over again they'll choose a dictator over an elected government. And more we see the classical Western liberties, whether it's England or the United States, being dismantled. Do you ever see parallels?
Well, what worries me more than anything else is the fact that we still have a one-party state in power in the People's Republic of China. It's very much the same party that committed all these atrocities some 50 years ago. Now, right now, the number of people who actually see China and the authoritarian state it represents as an example to be followed, I find that extremely worrying. And what I find even more worrying is what might happen if things go bad economically. What if that bubble bursts? What would happen with a People's Republic and a one-party state when things go downhill economically? That, to me, seems to be something we should be paying attention to.
I agree with you, Professor. We'll put your website up on screen. The title of the book, Mao's Great Famine, and Frank Decotter is our guest. We've got a little bit of time left in this segment and the next. I've been asking a lot of the questions. What are some of the other big central points and discoveries that you make in the book? I haven't read it yet. I've just seen the reviews, but we do have a copy ordered.
I think the sheer extent of the amount of documentation that comes out of the party archives, I find quite extraordinary. And I just wonder what happened during other periods under communist rule up to 1949. When you start looking at 45 million people in 4 or 5 years' time, you just wonder what happened afterwards or in the decade prior to that. Most of all, I think that it is not just about trying to see Mao as the greatest mass murderer in human history, which, of course, he is, but also trying to treat the victims of it and you know, try to, at least in respect to the memory of those many tens of millions who died, try to read about this event and treat it with the same degree of respect and knowledge as we treat victims of the Holocaust and victims of the Soviet Gulag. What I'm trying to say, I think, is that people simply don't have a choice or a voice in the People's Republic. There is no monument to the dead of the Great Leap Forward. There's no museum. There's no remembrance.
We have not publicly recognized, even in Western media, just how horrid this period was, and haven't, and because it hasn't been called out, there's restaurants all over the U.S., college kids. I go back to that. And now, I remember, I've been on air 15 years. 15 years ago, our media would criticize China and its human rights abuses and its organ selling and the rest of it. Now, sir, I hardly ever hear that. That's why it was so refreshing to see you coming out and people looking at your research and a lot of media admitting, you know, I mean, this seems like a big step forward towards really recognizing this evil.
Indeed. I mean that's the tragedy of China becoming more powerful in world politics, is that there are fewer and fewer people actually prepared to look at what happened in the past, or for that matter, what is happening today.
And that same system's in place now. We've got 5 minutes on the other side, but recap and expand on the point you were just making, Professor, and then let's look forward. I mean, let's look at who they've got there. It's the children and grandchildren of the same totally wicked, inbred party elite, and now they own the majority of U.S. debt and have over 6,000 front companies here in the U.S. We'll be right back with the professor.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Is your computer running slowly? Thinking about buying a new one? Don't waste your money. Your computer could be infected with spyware, malware, viruses, registry errors, spam, and pop-ups. You don't need to buy a new computer. Just go to DoubleMySpeed.com and find out what's slowing your computer down.
Double My Speed totally cleaned up my system and increased my speed.
DoubleMySpeed.com increased the speed of my computer from the very first day.
My computer was on its last leg. Now it's like new again.
Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com and keep your computer running fast. Your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com is easy and fast.
It's the best you could ask for. Outstanding, and my computer is running faster than ever.
Find out what is slowing down your computer with a free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com. Don't waste your time with your slow computer. Get your free diagnosis now at DoubleMySpeed.com. That's DoubleMySpeed.com.
This may surprise you. Type 2 diabetes has reached epidemic proportions among both adults and children. You or someone you know may have it. Managing type 2 diabetes in conventional ways is a never-ending task. But this good news may also surprise you. A recent UCLA study proved that type 2 diabetes can be reversed in only 21 days. Purium Health Products recently developed a product that mimics the healthy diet used in that UCLA study, called Scoop of Greens, an easy, great-tasting, affordable way to give your body the nutrition tools to help it overcome type 2 diabetes. Scoop of Greens has been awarded the Diabetes Resource Center seal of approval, so you know it's safe. See Scoop of Greens and other world-class whole living foods and nutraceuticals at DiabeticHealthSolution.com. To order, call 888-747-6733. That's 888-747-6733. Mention GCN for a healthy discount and ask about the Buy 3, Get 1 Free special. Start keeping type 2 diabetes in check at DiabeticHealthSolution.com.
We've got it.
The transmission is coming to you.
we'll definitely have him back up with us again because we haven't even scratched the surface. I hope you'll get the book, Mao's Great Famine, because it mirrors the separate research I've done, obviously not as in-depth or directly there at the source. This is confirmed, you know, point of release from within their own annals. And as he said, it's only the surface, and it's so horrific. We have our own government lighting up the Empire State Building in the communist Chinese colors. That's like lighting it up as a swastika if we don't recognize that the same system is still there. My film, Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, you can get four copies to give to your friends and family of this seminal film for $19.95 for another 2 weeks. This documents our government's own admissions, major think tanks, the UN, saying they like what Mao did. Now, I read you a New York Times quote from David Rockefeller. You see the young kids, I see them at UT wearing Mao and Stalin shirts. This is serious. This is serious, and we've got to stand up and recognize evil. So I hope folks get the film at Infowars.com because, sir, finishing up with that point about how we're the same groups that did this are still in control today. China owns most of the West debt. Where is China going now?
Well, it could. I'm not an expert on China today. And that's one of the troubling things, is that the so-called China experts seem always to be very willing to talk about every aspect of that country, whether it happened 1,000 years ago or what is going to happen in 10 years' time. So I'm very prudent with that. But looking at it, I think the real worry is whether there is another great leap forward taking place. Obviously not tens of millions dying of hunger. But again, there's great faith by the Chinese government that it has somehow found a way to catapult its country past everybody else through some magic economic plan that has nothing in common with the rest of the world. This idea that they can somehow do their own thing in a very different way without having to pay respect to human beings, respect to freedom, the freedom of movement, freedom of association, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. That seems to me to be rather worrying. And in any event, it seems to me that if we really want to understand China now, you cannot but read up on its history of the past 50 years. These are, as you said, very much the same people in power, the same families in power.
The same people in power, the same families, becoming fabulously wealthy. I mean, generals making hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're killing the Falun Gong, they're killing peaceful groups, they're still oppressing Tibet. And our media more and more defends it.
Indeed. The other query for China experts out there, of course, not for me as a historian, but would be to find out whether or not these methods are being exported to other countries.
Oh, they certainly are being exported to other countries. I mean, that's the issue that I see here. And then China's got so much influence over our internal politics because they own our debt. That's the main reason that the State Department 2 years ago said they're not selling organs when China admits they're selling organs. So now our government's lying for them.
Well, there you go. So, again, is it another great leap forward? I'd be very prudent.
It's incredible. Well, Professor DeCotter, frankdecotter.com is the website. I know you're in Rome right now. I'd like to, while we have you, call you pick a time to interview you again as soon as possible because I'd like to open the phones up to take calls. And so we're going to put you on hold, sir, and find a time to get you back on in the future, perhaps in studio when you're here in the United States. I hope folks get your book and, as you said, learn to recognize evil so it doesn't happen again. God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
There goes Professor Frank DeCotter. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.